friends, welcome to the Your Sister Kimber podcast. My name is Kimber Gilbert, and I'm so glad you're here. Today, we're talking moving pains. I'm chatting with my friend Emily about her experience with loneliness as a military wife over the course of 4 moves. She's been all over and through it all has learned to lean into prayer and faith in action. If you're a military wife, you're going to want to learn from Emily's wisdom today. And if you're not, I hope you'll join us for today's conversation anyway, because odds are you have a friend who this is their reality. And being a good friend to your military-affiliated friend is such a huge blessing to them, trust me. So friends, thanks so much for joining Emily and I today. I hope our conversation helps you grow authentic community in your own life and friendships that honor God and draw you closer to Jesus. I wish we could literally have this conversation over coffee together, but grab your own cup and we'll settle for the next best thing. I'm so glad you're here, friend. Let's get started. Hey, Emily, thanks so much for chatting with me today.
Yeah, hi, Kimber. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited for our conversation. We got to have coffee the other day and I just got to hear a little bit of your story, which I was excited to do. I've gotten to know you a little bit better over the recent months, but we had never had a chance to like sit down just us. And so that was really cool for me. And man, it's just like a really awesome story. And so I'm really excited and thankful that you're sharing it with us today here. So thank you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Well, I enjoyed very much getting together with you.
Yeah, it's good. Well, will you go ahead and introduce yourself to our friends listening who may not know you?
All right. I am Emily Steinauer. I have 2 young boys, a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I am due with another boy, so I'm a boy mom. And he should be here in the next couple of weeks, so I'm very pregnant. Feel a little bit like a beached whale.
Oh, yeah.
And my last came at 42 weeks, so I'm not anticipating an early start.
Yeah. So you're like, I'm in here for the long haul, probably.
Yeah.
Well, Emily, specifically, we're kind of looking to hone in on how we navigate our loneliness. That's a series we're in right now. Handling loneliness is this universal experience that we all go through. But specifically, what I'm interested to talk to you about is how this plays out in the lives of military families. And my husband's in the military, yours is as well. And so when we talked the other day at coffee, that was what our conversation came around to a lot is like, I think military families and particularly wives, we experience loneliness in unique ways. And so I would love to kind of get your perspective on how you've learned from your experiences in this regard and over the course of your guys' moves. And for our friends listening who aren't military families, I think that they surely have a friend or, and, you know someone in some capacity who does live this lifestyle. And so I think this is going to be a great opportunity for those of us who are in this world to learn from what you've gone through. And for those who aren't, to get some empathy and just compassion for families and friends who are in this kind of a situation. So how many times have you guys moved? It's been a lot, right?
Yes. Oh, and I feel bad I didn't mention my husband at all in my introduction.
No, I sort of derailed you. It's totally fine. Don't feel bad.
I am happily married. I love my husband. He's great. And yeah, so he's been in the military for 14 years, or he commissioned 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I knew going into dating him that he was in ROTC at Penn State. Uh-huh. We met through a ministry at our college. And we were friends before we started dating. And I remember having a conversation with him just as friends. Uh-huh. And asking what military life was going to be like what it's like for the families. And
yeah.
I remember thinking that it sounded horrible. And I had some like good guy friends who were also in ROTC at the time. And I was like, well, they are great guys, but maybe I'm not interested in dating them because I wouldn't want to become their wife because that sounds the worst.
Yeah.
I grew up in a small town and I went through like K through 12 in the same small school system.
Yeah.
And so the thought of moving every couple of years just
totally foreign. Yeah.
Foreign, intimidating. It doesn't sound good. Yeah. And yeah, So, but then here I am. I fell in love and.
Oh, man. Signed up anyway. Yeah,
signed up anyway. The same week that I graduated college, we got married and I moved to England. So I went from being one of six girls in a small apartment where I was surrounded by community or friends all the time to this very foreign place where I was oceans away from everyone I knew. And our honeymoon was great. But then Dave left a couple weeks after we got there. And I had never driven on the other side of the road.
Yes.
I didn't know anyone.
The little things that at least, you know, you think you can take for granted, even a lot of those things. Yeah. Stripped away because of your location. Yeah.
Yes. I was so excited for the adventure of it. And I loved my husband and was like thrilled about a lot of it. But the loneliness set in pretty quickly. I'm sorry. I'm going to backtrack here because you had asked how many times we've moved.
Yeah.
So there, that was the first move, moving from Pennsylvania to England. And then we moved from England to Florida. In Florida, we moved once, it's probably not worth mentioning, but we did have to change churches because it was so far from where we went. So it felt like
it's still like you're separating from the community that you're trying to engage in. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that was kind of a mini move.
Yeah.
We had some good friends that we had like a breakup dinner with where we told them,
we're leaving.
Kind of like farther away. But then they ended up moving in our direction too. So it worked out because then we saw them all the time again.
Oh, that's cool.
But then we moved from Florida to Maryland and then Maryland to Alaska.
Okay. So four already under your belt in 15 years, you said?
So we've been married for 12 years.
12. Okay.
He had been in Oklahoma and Texas before we got married. So I don't have those on my record, but
Totally. That's a lot. Yeah. It's, you know, it's really good for me, I think, to hear perspectives of people who, would you say you like enjoy the military lifestyle? Is it like mix of good and bad? Like, what's kind of your take on this? Because my husband and I have had a little bit of a rough go with the military. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's really easy for me to be very cynical about this lifestyle. And so I'm always interested to hear from people who don't quite have that. What would you say is like your perspective on this? Like best part, hardest part, where do you fall?
So I feel like we've been in a good season. He hasn't deployed in 2 years. So
nice.
Ask me again when he's gone. But I think that there have been times where it's been really challenging. But overall, the experience of being a military spouse is something I really have. I can't say I really have always enjoyed, but I think that it's been just great. It's in a lot of ways, I think our marriage is stronger than it would be, I guess, if we were just outside of that military.
Certainly
lifestyle.
Invited opportunities to have to grow.
Yeah, definitely. Like the challenges of, and then, you know, when we end up in a new place, I have a built-in best friend and it's my husband.
Yes. And then, I experienced that when we moved a couple of years ago, like away from our community here. And it was like suddenly Sean and I got a lot closer, I feel like, because it was like we were all we had, you know? And so, that was definitely a silver lining of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hard experience for sure.
Yes. And being far from family, like some of the locations we've been, Maryland was the closest and I was still 7 hours from my parents, but we were closer to my in-laws and my sister. Yeah. But for the most part, we've lived in a different time zone. Even Florida was a different time zone because we were near Pennsylvania. I would say that has been the hardest part for us is being so far from family. And he grew up right on the same property that his grandparents lived in the house behind him growing up. He could just run up the hill and
see his grandparents. So both of you kind of grew up in that very like home base kind of an environment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hard to break out of that.
It is. And his whole family still, they all live back in the same area. And so it makes it very convenient to go.
Yeah, go and home visit. And see family. Yeah.
Yeah. But not being close to family and then having grandparents pass away.
Yeah.
And when my grandmother, she was in her later 90s, so she had a really full, great life.
Yeah.
But we were in England when she ended up getting pancreatic cancer and things kind of took a turn really fast. And I had this choice, like, do I fly out right now and get to her and get to be with her before she passes away? Or because we were poor newlyweds and the plane tickets were so expensive or do I go out for like the funeral?
Right.
So I ended up flying out and I got to spend time with her. It was just so sweet. But then when she did pass away, I missed the funeral. And so just things like that if you live closer.
Yeah.
And I've been far away from like my sister when she had her babies and things like that those are the hardest things. But on the flip side, I've experienced just getting to know people and they kind of become your family away from family.
Yeah.
And a different level of community that you depend on because you're away from family.
Yes.
And there's something really sweet and special about that too.
Yeah. And I mean, that has like, at least from what you've told me, that has been really like a big part of your story there is like when you're in those moments where you don't have family close and like, especially when you grew up and that was always an option, it's like, okay, how has God provided other community for me in those moments when I felt like I didn't have any? And so I would love if you picked up kind of with your story of how loneliness started playing out as you guys made that first hard move to England. Like, how did God show up in that place for you?
Yeah. So I'm going to share one story from England that just like highlights how God provided in a time of, I was probably in doubt of how I would get through a long deployment.
Yeah. You're like just there, newlywed, new place.
Yeah.
And he's like, bye. Sorry.
Yes. So that time I just had to dare myself to like my first time driving on the opposite side of the road. And I would say I'm a very confident driver now, but I was in multiple car accidents in high school and was not a confident driver. I didn't have a car through college.
Okay.
So my brother went to the same school and then I had Dave there when we were in school together and friends with cars. And so it was pretty much like getting back to driving and then everything I had learned in reverse.
Oh my God. And I can't imagine. I've never been to England or like anywhere that drives on the other side of the road. So I literally cannot imagine. I think it would be so hard for my brain.
It was for the beginning part. It was really hard. But yeah, the first time I drove was driving Dave to his like deployment. I think they were leaving at like 3 a.m. So thankfully there was no one else on the road. So it's like, if I did pull out and turn onto the wrong side, like I wasn't going to hit anyone.
That's good.
But then this is something I still do every time we move. I prayed for community and then putting my faith in action, I also made just this kind of like a dare every day that to be brave and do something bold. And so something that made me uncomfortable. So even though I am an extrovert I'm an extrovert in friend groups. I think that going to try to seek out friends is kind of like going to find a date or like when you're looking for, to pick someone up because you have to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
And
it's scary. Yeah.
So just to do something brave every day. So sometimes that was driving onto base and shopping at the BX and kind of like scanning around and looking for ladies who would look like my friend. Or sometimes it was like talking to someone at a coffee shop or going to church by myself and not knowing anyone and just starting conversation. And so that was kind of how I built up community there. But then fast forward to a year from then, Dave had come back and then he deployed again. Okay. And my closest friend for that first year had just moved away. I think that's another challenging part of military life because you move, but then your friends move and you're not always on the same schedule. You're usually not on the same schedule.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's like constantly, not only are you having to uproot and re-put down roots, but then also your friends that may happen to at any point. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so you're either like leaving or being left behind. And
right. And
so my friend was moving right before Dave deployed. And she was kind of my lifeline out there. They lived down the street from us. And I like thought of his deployment like this dark storm cloud coming in. And I was just not sure how I was going to get through it and not looking forward to it. And he deployed. And the first weekend that he was gone, I took a trip with some other military friends and was driving home from that. We had gone to like France for the day and coming back.
Just gone to France for the day.
Just gone to France.
Yeah. Casually, as one does.
There are definitely perks to the military lifestyle. Yeah. We got to see a lot of places, but
so cool.
Coming back, this was in like the days of flip phones and I don't even think I had a car charger.
Yeah.
We had kind of an old British car. My car started making weird noises and I was driving by myself through this little British village.
Uh-huh.
We lived like an hour and a half from London, but we lived in a really rural area.
Okay.
And there weren't any street lights or anything. And then the lights on my car just went out and I was still driving. So I was trying
to stop. Right.
And my car is making weird sounds and I'm not a car. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like Dave would have known right away what was happening. But I got out of the car and like, I wasn't even sure if I was on the side of the road. I didn't have a flashlight and my phone was dead. And I saw like a little light in the distance and walked to this house. It was your quintessential British house with like a thatched roof. And
I mean, that's better than like, you know, the creepy like mansion where Dracula lives or something. Like,
that's very
cute. At least it was a cute little cottage, right?
Like, Yes. I did not know anyone in this village. But I just walked up and knocked on their door and this couple came out and I think I just broke into tears.
Cool. Just on their doorstep.
And my husband's gone. I think I was like processing everything. And she just hugged me and her husband went and made sure my car was on the side of the road. And they had been celebrating their anniversary. So we were like, we've been drinking, but we'll call you a ride.
Aww.
And they took care of me. And so it was just one of those, like, I went from thinking how lonely I was going to be to just this realization that God can provide in these really strange and wonderful ways.
Yeah.
And I just felt so provided for, like these strangers that just gave me the hug I needed and took care of me.
Yeah. Something I learned when Sean was deployed a couple years ago was that apparently people, I don't know who these people are, scientists, whatever, they say that really to be like emotionally healthy, you need like 8 hugs a day.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, well, I'm not getting that. Like with him gone, and man, that was like, and it was kind of funny thing like to joke about with my friends, but like I think about that all the time now. I'm like, you know, am I being intentional when Sean is gone, especially, but even always, like to think about, you know, am I getting those hugs like from people? Like, am I connecting with other people when my person who I'm used to being in my house with, when he's not there? And man, it's like sometimes you don't realize how much of a difference it is when family's gone. It's tough.
Yeah, that's true. That's funny about the hug thing. It made me think of, we had just moved another time and my mom sent me flowers on my birthday.
Oh,
and I think we had just gotten there and like we didn't know anyone. And she had told the lady delivering the flowers, I think because I had complained to her that I was lonely. And she told the lady to give me a hug.
Oh my God.
And she did. And this is during like COVID time.
Oh, wow. Even bigger ask. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just like, I felt so, I was so moved by that. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Hey friends, I'm interrupting our conversation with Emily real quick to share with you guys a new free resource I dropped last week. Called 20 Facts to Know About Your Friends, and it's designed to help you do exactly what Emily and I are talking about, being intentional, having the brave conversations, and going deep fast. This mini questionnaire is designed to print out and share with your friends at your next girls' night. Answer these questions, allow them to guide your conversation, and then trade your answers. Put the details in your phone under their contact card in your contacts so that anytime you need to know their coffee order or that important anniversary or lost date for them, or you just want to surprise them with a fun, like thinking of you kind of treat, you've got some ideas ready to go at your fingertips. I hope this resource blesses you, your friendships, in new ways. So stick around for the end of the show to learn how to download it today. Okay, back to the show.
Back to the England story, how God continued to provide, just using that broken down car. I just left it there for the night. The next day I walked to church and there was a couple that had just moved to England that Dave had introduced me to the week before he left. They had come to our church. I just started telling them the story of what happened.
Yeah, your crazy night.
About the car, the crazy night. And I didn't know, but he liked fixing cars just as a hobby. And when I started describing what had happened, he was like, oh, I bet it's this. And, you know, he asked what kind of car I had. And he had the part ordered by the time we got out of service.
Oh, my God.
And he went and fixed my car while I hung out with his wife. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know them at all before that. And then we became really close. Dave was gone. I think that was the year he wasn't supposed to be gone over Christmas, but they ended up getting extended.
Oh, that's so hard. So,
but then I ended up spending Christmas with these friends, and they were like the kind of friends I would walk over in my PJs, put a pea coat on over it so that the people wouldn't judge me.
Judge you too hard?
Yeah, they wouldn't know I was a sloppy American. And God provided in just like the best ways.
That's so cool. I love that you were like looking for that. Like you asked him for it and then you saw. Do you feel like you could see that as God's provision in the moment? Or has it been more in hindsight that you've been able to see like his hand at work in like that story, for example, and just in that time in general?
With that story in particular, I think I knew, like I saw it right away.
Yeah.
God's provision. But there have been other times where I can look back and see how God really provided.
Yeah, I think that's so cool to like be able to look back, but also like when we can get to a place, I think it's just like growing in our faith where it's like as things are happening, we're able to see like, oh, thank you, God, like, you know, and see that provision. Because I don't think it's always that way. But I think when we can start to notice those things, that's a really, it can be a really rewarding and cool thing because it's like, you know, you see it more tangibly how he's showing up for you and providing for you in those hard moments, which is, I think, just bolsters our faith.
Yeah, definitely.
Were your other new moves as you were moving to Florida and to Maryland, were they all kind of, you know, this bumpy, or when you were starting out and like looking for community, or do you feel like you got better at it? How did you like grow and change as you've done this kind of same cycle over and over?
I don't think it's gotten easier. If anything, having kids, especially now with this last move, my oldest was 5 and it was hard on him.
Oh, yeah.
We rehomed our dog. Like there were a lot of challenging things. I used to think that I would become this like seasoned military spouse and I would like be great at all, you know, at moving,
right. You're like breezing through your moves like it's no big thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely thought it would get easier. But I do think I've learned a lot of things like tips or just
like ways to navigate it sort of.
Yeah. To make it easier. So in England, we had joined a military Bible study called OCF. And so we found an OCF group in Florida. And kind of got plugged in there.
Yeah.
And I had also heard about MOP. I think the first time I learned about it was in Florida. And I started going before I think we even tried to get pregnant.
I actually learned that the other day, that MOPS is not like, you don't have to have a preschooler. I just like, which friends listening, if you don't know, it's like Mothers of Preschoolers, right? Is like the acronym. But that like if you have a child in some way, or maybe even if you don't, I don't know if they're like weird about that at all. I'm sure they're not.
I don't think they are.
They
talk a lot about motherhood.
Right. So like you would probably be interested primarily if that was your situation. But like such a great resource. Totally.
Yeah. So that was when like I had joined MOPS in Florida and then found another MOPS group
in Maryland when we moved there.
So kind of like those like organizations that are broader, it's like it gives you just like a level of familiarity a little bit, or like, okay, I know this is like a good place to start at the very least. That's super helpful. I think that's one thing that like church provides even is like, you know, you're in this new place and it's like, okay, where do I start trying to find community? Do I go like knock on my neighbor's door? I mean, maybe, but that's probably wouldn't be my move. But yeah, like church, starting to connect with groups, like things like that can be great starting places.
And definitely just praying about it. I one of the biggest things I always pray for is our community in the next place. And now I kind of like, I get excited about who God's going to place in our lives. I prayed specifically for great neighbors here. And the day we moved in, our neighbors here are older. They have great grandkids. And so they've kind of adopted our kids as like adoptive grandchildren. But the day we moved in, she brought over cookies and just, I think the movers had come and she was like, we have a playroom in our house for my grandson.
That's incredible.
She was like, bring the boys. And I think I went and stayed for an hour or so over there. And she was like, please go back. And she was like, I know you don't know me very well, but we're neighbors now. Like, if you feel comfortable, back over and leave them here. And they have just been like so wonderful. I feel so much safer here having great neighbors.
Yes. Yeah. Supported. Absolutely.
Supported. They taught us, you know, best places to salmon fish. They took us out on their boat in Seward. And when I start really missing family of kind of like around the kids' birthdays and things like that, where we would, or holidays, and they bring things over. Actually, this Christmas, another older neighbor asked the boys what they wanted for Christmas. And on Christmas Day, I had gone down like early. I think I get more excited for opening presents than my kids, you
know? And that's awesome.
There were wrapped presents on our front porch on Christmas
Like from your neighbors. That's so sweet.
Yeah. They had kind of like winked and said that Santa wouldn't
That was probably coming. Yeah.
But yeah, just like so sweet. And
that's really cool.
And then with all the Alaska things, they always let us know, like, there's a bull moose in our side yard. So don't let the kids out right now.
Right.
You know,
I love what you said about almost having like anticipation now for like, who is God going to bring into my life? And I feel like that is such a shift from like maybe the typical mindset of like, oh, I don't want to lose what I have, or like, oh, I'm scared. Like, is there going to be anyone? But like, I love that mindset of like, I know that he will provide this. How did you get to that place? Like, what it was, it just seeing like God provide and like over and over, and you're like, well, now I expect it? Or like, what did this journey to that perspective, what did that look like for you?
Yeah, I definitely think it's just a hopeful prayer that I can be filled with hope in that anticipating, I guess.
Yeah.
I would still say moves, like I cry a lot. I doubt things like, will I ever have a group as great as my friends here? But yeah, some of it is seeing God provide over and over again, that it's not always what I expect, but his gifts are always good. And yeah, I would say like in Maryland, my first best friend was in her 70s.
Yeah.
Was our farm neighbor there. She just like walked over, and her husband had passed away like 20 years ago before that. And I think she saw me. I moved into our farmhouse a month before Dave. He had some training to finish up. So I had to use our tractor by myself.
I'm and trying to picture you on a tractor.
Oh, yeah. It's not pretty.
I love it. No, I bet you crushed it. I'm sure you crushed it. It's just a different picture than what I have of you in my mind now.
Yes.
No, that's awesome.
In Alaska, I can't really run around like barefoot and
linen. It's a little bit different vibe.
Like, on the
sure.
Definitely. But yeah, she came over and just said how much she, I think she said, started with something like, I love seeing another woman out on the tractor. And then she just like told me, you know, her life story, and we got to talking about things. She wasn't a woman of faith, but the people who we bought our farm from were, and had really started some good conversations with her.
Cool.
That then I got to keep having. And the year we moved, she actually ended up passing away. And I got to go in and be with her on her like last days. Mm-hmm. And so those like sort of things are like when I pray for friends, I don't necessarily think of like I think of someone a peer, like another military spouse or
right. Someone like maybe that idealistic, like this is what I envision my friend looking like.
Yes. Yeah. But I think that's another thing, just having a more open mind to who God's like placing in my life in that season.
Yeah. And like he can work in my life to battle my loneliness in so many different ways, ways I probably would never even think of. And so I love that reminder to like just be ready to notice how he's working in unique ways. Because I think sometimes like we pray for this idea of God rescue me from my loneliness or like send me a friend or, you know, that kind of a prayer. And then it's like, you know, we look around in a month and we're like, well, I don't have a best friend yet. So what the heck? You know, whereas I wonder, like, if we broadened a little bit how we are looking for answers to our prayers, like, you know, it might not be that like ready-made, perfectly packaged best friend that we're hoping for, but it might be in like more non-traditional friendships like that one, or in like the couple that helped you out that night when you were stranded. Like, you know, I think that if we look for provision in just more ways or even in started conversations or like doors opened that we could invest in. I love what you said at the beginning of like putting my faith into action and like taking those steps towards community and like towards what I feel like God's giving me the opportunity for. And then like, okay, how is he going to work through that? Sometimes that can be the answer to our prayers even.
Yeah, definitely.
You're telling me about some, you know, just different ways, like over these four different places you've lived when you've had to start over again, each of these times, how God has really shown up in like very diverse ways. At least it seemed like to me in each of those places. And you've told us a little bit about England and a little bit about here even. But what did this kind of look like in Florida and Maryland? Like, what were some of the ways that you feel like God showed up to help you in your lonely moments in those places?
Yeah. So in Florida, I know I was struggling with loneliness and just
because that was your second move after you had like gone through the whole ordeal in England. And I feel like that second one is hard because you're like, ugh, I just went through this.
Yeah. And there were ways that I like learned to make friends. I think being a new military spouse in England.
Yeah.
Dave was in a unit that was really close. All the families were really close. And so in a lot of ways, that was great because we kind of had community right away, or I had people I could call if I needed anything.
Right.
And then his job in Florida, he was an instructor there where he was much smaller shop. There wasn't a like
unit community. Yeah.
Right. And so that was fine. I think it was great to have like when you're overseas, it was nice to have like a group of Americans to kind of like I had those friends. We would get together and watch The Bachelor. And
they're like kind of built in. You can connect on things that you all relate to. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, you know, they don't have Thanksgiving over there. So we would all celebrate Thanksgiving together and things like that. But in Florida, I started going to a small group through our church of a women's group. And through that group, I guess a couple of ladies I had met there, we like started a prayer group together.
Cool.
I think we started walking and praying together. Like, do you want to walk with me? And then just praying together. And then once the like women's group got kind of big and they broke up into smaller groups, the three of us led a group together.
Cool.
And so that was one way that I found that kind of close community. That, and then I remember sitting on my back porch in Florida and like praying for a friend. And we had just gotten this new puppy. And I think I like let her out and she got loose and like ran to our neighbors, into our neighbor's yard where my neighbor was like lounging in the sun and picked up our puppy and was like, oh, I love your dog. So cute. And I had just been journaling about how I was like
wanting
feeling lonely and wanting a friend. And then here, like, wow. That was like an immediate.
Yes.
Yeah. In the face, like your neighbor right
led
here.
Led you right to her.
Yeah. And so she became a really close friend, and she ended up having a baby the year before we had our first. Mm-hmm. She had a baby boy almost to the week before, the year before. And so she was just instrumental in teaching me how to be a mom.
Yeah.
And all the things I would need. And she just gave me, like, you know, her son would grow out of it and she would be like, you're going to need this size. So here,
take awesome.
So just that was awesome. But there have definitely, like, those are times where, or that time with our dog was one where I wasn't really doing the work. But I've definitely since then been in situations where I really have to put myself out there. And so in Maryland, I guess, so in Florida, I had found a group of moms that did like a stroller workout together outside. And I was looking for something similar to that in Maryland. And there was nothing, I couldn't find anything close to where we lived. And so I just decided that I was going to try to be brave and ask some moms that I met if they would want to do like a walking stroller workout thing. And so I got this group of moms to come, and we would start at the farm and then walk through my neighborhood.
Cool.
And at all the like cul-de-sacs, we would do like workout.
Like you stop and do it. Yeah.
But it was much more for the community than for the like getting fit aspect of it.
I love that idea of, okay, what am I doing? Or like, what do I need to do for my like well-being? And then thinking, okay, how can I invite other people into it? That's something that like I have been trying to practice like especially since having a baby is like, okay, I have a limited time. So it's, you know, not always easy to do both separately, but like, how can I merge these things that I have to do together? And I think that's a great way, great way to do that.
Yeah, that was one. And then my other, that kind of became my closest group of friends in Maryland was I had gone to meet a new friend. I think that I had, we had met at MOP and she invited me to an event at the library and we went and there were four of us that started talking about, I guess, books we wanted to read or some book on parenting. And we decided then to start this book club. And the first time we met, we were just going to talk about what book we would pick for the next month.
Yeah.
And we kept meeting, but we never ended up reading a book. We just, we called ourselves a book club.
We're like in quotes, book club.
Yeah. We thought we should make like t-shirts or something after a couple of years. But we would meet like every other week or sometimes every week. And just really experience life together. And we would always try to meet like every other week as just moms or just us. But
like without your families, is that what you're saying?
Without the kid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we would meet like through the week at the park or, you know,
what
for
do
a
you
walk
think those like that distinct time when it was you didn't have the kids around? And then also when you did, what did like both of those opportunities provide distinctly for you guys?
Yeah. So I think having the kids around, it was great to have our kid, you know, socialize our kids a little bit. Get to know their kids and that was just really fun. But we would try to have like deeper conversation. But when you're chasing
it's so hard.
And, and constantly, on the move, it...
A lot of started conversations and not finished ones is my experience.
That's definitely. Definitely how it would go. And then having these nights where we would get together without the kids. Yeah. Just allowed for that conversation to go further and for our friendships really to grow. And we would just share like the good, the bad, the ugly, all the things.
Would you say it's like easy for you to go deep, or is that a harder thing for you to like be vulnerable and open up in those kind of situations?
So I have found that I now just want to go deep right away.
Why do you think that is?
I think because our time is limited somewhat with this military lifestyle or moving often, that if it took months and months to get to a place where you're sharing, where you're really honest,
then half
and
your
open
time is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nobody has time for that.
Yep.
And I just, yeah, maybe it's somewhat my love language. I'm physical touch, but also time that I need that like quality conversation and going deeper. And so whereas I probably used to have more walls up years ago, that I'm sure there have been times where I overshared or or went too deep too fast or something and maybe scared friends away. But I'm not thinking of any off the top of my head. Maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like, I don't know, that's such like a good reminder too of like, if someone is at the point where they're like, ugh, I feel like they're feeling this stress of like, or not stress, but like the pressure or tension of like, I feel like I need to do this faster. Like, I can't wait around for deep friendships to happen because like you're saying, like we're on 2, 3, 4 year timelines here. And it's like, if I'm like wasting a year just waiting around for someone to like open up to me, that's kind of a bummer. And so I feel like that's something that I've definitely learned over our shorter course in the military is like, just go there. And to me, it's like, there may be moments. I do have like a story of that I've, I think, shared somewhere on blog podcast realm before of like where I did feel like I went too deep too fast and felt like the other girl kind of retracting. But, and that was a hard moment for me. However, in the grand scheme of things, I would not do it differently because that one moment like was hard and she kind of withdrew and I didn't have a friendship there. But of all the other times when I have just gone there and someone has responded, that is totally worth it to me. It's like, you know, it's like, go there because time is short for sure. You know, that's something that with, I think, our non-military friends listening, I would love you to speak to this a little bit. That is something that I think is maybe helpful for our non-military friends to know. It's like, if you feel like friends who are military families come in and they just like blow the doors off of what you're used to as far as like how long it takes to grow a friendship, it's probably because we just have learned that you just got to go there fast because otherwise you're going to be lonely for 3 years and then you're finally going to get connected and it's going to be time to leave. So it's like, I think sometimes that can feel maybe a little intimidating to people who have developed or cultivated friendships over their whole lives if they've never moved or, you know, have only moved once or so. And so I think that's helpful to remember of like for non-military friends, it's like, if it feels fast, this is why we're approaching friendship this way. Because I feel like that can just help things maybe seem a little bit more like normal. Can you think of any other things like for our friends listening who aren't military, like what do they need to know about their friends who are military families? Like, because I think there are ways that we are just like trained or wired or whatever to do friendship differently a little bit, right? Like, is there anything that comes to mind for you? Like, what would you want to tell your friend who's not military? Like, what do they need to know about their friends who are military families?
Well, the most important, we did definitely talk about the going deep and that that can be intimidating, but why we probably do that.
Yeah.
And then I know friends in the past, non-military friends in places we've been stationed have told me that it's hard when like when Dave is deployed, I really depend on friends or I spend a lot of time with friends. And then they've said it's hard when he comes back because then we miss you for a bit or like your pace changes kind of with like him being here or him being gone or and so I haven't experienced that in a little while, but I do remember friends saying that that was really a challenging part of being friends with a military spouse.
Absolutely.
And so kind of, I guess, just having grace for those friends who maybe while their spouses are deployed, if they're, you see them a lot more, they're, you know, inviting you out more, they're in your life. And then it seems like they withdraw because they're reconnecting again as a family once the husband comes back.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's, because it's been a little while since Dave is deployed, I don't know how I do that now, but
No, I think that's a great thing to be watching for because it's like, you know, because it's easy in those moments to think, oh, well, it's because they didn't really care about me, or they, you know, maybe they don't like me, or they were just, you know, there because he was gone. But it really is like a balancing act, and it's hard to like navigate that reintegration and like time. Both with, of course, your spouse, but like also your friendships. And so I think having grace for that is a great reminder. Another one that I thought of was just the balance of like disengaging when you know you're like almost ready to move, like when time is coming to move. Something I've heard from a lot of military families that I also have experienced is like this sort of tendency to start like disengaging from your relationships a little bit because you know that your move is coming. But it's like, how have you learned to balance that like disengagement, stay connected? Like, what has navigating that looked like for you over the course of the, you know, really 3 times that you've had to do that up until this point?
So I don't think I've always done it well because we do have a tendency to like start thinking of that next place. And I can remember leaving Florida thinking that I had been prepping so much for life in Maryland that I had kind of pulled away from friends there a little earlier. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think you have to be intentional about staying where you are, even when your things get packed up and shipped out, because sometimes that happens
hard
a month before you leave. Right. And I really look up to this one other military spouse who I think we had probably been married 4 years when I met her, and she had been married maybe 15 or 16. And so just had a lot more experience. They had moved 9 times and they're still in the military. Wow. But at that point, so that was years ago, they had already moved 9 times. And so I actually asked her to mentor me.
Yeah.
And we kind of just like read through the Bible together, but also I just would ask her all the military questions, like, how do you do this well? And I just saw her as someone who really built great community in a short amount of time. And then she moved before we moved, and she didn't disengage. It was like up until the goodbye where we waved to their family as they drove away with the trucks. She was just in it. And I was like, how do you do this all the time? And she just had this perspective that you really have to set down roots wherever you are. And that motto, grow where you're planted, that it's not healthy to like uproot too soon or to live without letting those roots grow while you're in a place. And she had been in long enough to know that oftentimes we end up like the military bubble is pretty small, and you end up moving either back to the same place and seeing familiar faces.
Yeah, reconnecting with people.
Or that like bubble just kind of helps. There have been times where I know like friends from another base have said, like, oh, my best friend is moving to Alaska or like where you guys are. So it's their name. So, yeah, I don't think I do a great job of staying in touch with friends.
Yeah, that's hard, too.
Yeah, it's just hard to be intentional with all the relationships when you like, I still love all my friends. And I definitely go too long between talking to them. But but if I'm thinking of someone, I don't hesitate to call. Like, I just think that really good, deep friendships, like you can go a long time without talking and just kind of pick back up.
And I think so often we're like afraid to try to do that. Like, oh, I haven't talked to her in a while, so like, will it be weird or, you know, something like that. But I think just, you know, having grace for each other and being willing to try is really cool. And like that whole like disengaging, reconnecting thing is so tough. And I love hearing about, you know, that mentor that you asked that question to. I think that's a great thing to do, is like find people around you that you trust who are like kind of ahead of you in the game and say like, hey, this is my current struggle with this. Like, how did you do it? And they might not have a perfect answer for you, but I think they can probably encourage you towards some maybe tools and tactics. And at the very least, hopefully they can encourage you to pray about it, which I love how that has been such a huge part of your story, because I know God knows what he's doing in this whole story of the military life way better than I do. That's for sure.
True.
Well, Emily, let's go ahead and kind of wrap things up here. I would love to hear from you to kind of close things out for us today, just, you know, for our friends listening who this is her reality right now. Like, she is feeling lonely. Maybe it's due to military moves or just any other reason for moving or change in seasons. And I would just love for you to share with us, what would you encourage her with today? Like, what is your number one thing for her that you would want her to remember in this moment if she's feeling kind of the same spot that you have been before?
Well, I guess first to be prayerful in it and have eyes to see where God might be working.
Yeah.
I think there are times I've missed and then seen it later. Like, he was providing. That neighbor was there and I didn't think of them as a friend right away. But then that was a relationship that was life-giving. So just having eyes to see where God is already at work and then putting your faith into action. And if you're in a time of wanting community, then I would say do the dare game that I did.
I love that.
Something little. It could just be as easy as talking, like starting up a conversation with the mom next to you on the playground, or, you know, someone standing in line at the coffee shop or something like that, or showing up, going to the women's group at church or showing up at church by yourself. When you feel lonely, it's hard to get out and do these things, but I definitely believe in faith in action.
That's so good, because I think sometimes I can get very like too progress oriented. So I'm like, I do something like that or like reach out to someone or show up to something and I'm like, oh, well, it didn't like produce these perfect results that I want. Therefore, it was not the right thing to do, or it was silly that I did that or unhelpful. When really, I think like what you're describing here is just like how boldness like breeds more boldness in our lives. And so it's like, you know, it's even the practice of like, okay, God, I'm going to trust you with this moment and I'm going to be bold, or, you know, whatever it is. And I think that breeds more and more trust in our lives. And then hopefully we will see results in some way. And I really believe we will, because I think God wants us to live in community. And so I think that prayer is going to be one that he's going to answer, even if it is in unexpected ways, like you said. So I love that.
Yeah, I definitely didn't share any of the failures. So I just want to share one real quick for those feeling discouraged. If you did try something bold and it didn't go as you thought. For my first couple of months that we lived here, I didn't realize that the time on my Facebook was set to Eastern.
Okay.
So I would look up these. It sounds so stupid now, but I would look up these events. So there was like a walking group that looked like it would be fun, like a ladies walking group. I knew no one, so I didn't have any numbers to call, but it was like a group I found through Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my like, I'm going to go to it, even though this might be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I think the group was actually meeting at like noon. But of course, I had Eastern time.
No.
So not a lot there.
Yeah.
And I thought it started at 4 and showed up at the parking lot, the only car. And I like waited and no one else was there.
Yeah.
And so there were definitely times like that, that I just sat in my car and maybe cried or it brought me to like pray.
Yeah.
Like I'm out here, I'm trying.
Right.
And there's no one else here. What is this? But then just keeping with it the next day and
trying
not
again.
Trying
again. And check your Facebook settings.
Yes.
Oh man. I love it. No, thank you for that encouragement, because it is so easy to, I think, sometimes share when we're on the other side of it and we remember like what worked, which is so helpful to share, I think, and to press into that. But the reality is that we're all just out here trying and failing both. And so I love that reminder for the one discouraged. So, man, Emily, thank you so much for sharing with us today and your story and just what you've learned from it, because I think you are a wealth of wisdom for the military spouse. You know, you talk about that lady who was a mentor to you who had moved 9 times. I mean, you're getting to the point where you're going to be that person for someone. And I just think that that's such a gift. So thank you, friend.
Thank you, Kimber. It's been such a joy talking with you today.
Sisters, I'm so glad you could join Emily and I this week on the Your Sister Kimber podcast.
Man, military friends, it is not an easy road we walk, but I do think we have so many opportunities to dig into friendships in unique ways because of this lifestyle.
I really pray Emily's words encouraged you today as much as they did me. Next week, we'll continue cruising along in this series, Living Lonely. Can't wait to share some other unique perspectives with you. And earlier in the show, I shared with you a bit about my new digital resource, which is available to you for free. If you're already in my newsletter crew, check your inbox. Your copy has already been delivered. But if you're not, just go to my website and click on the Resources tab to find the 20 Facts to Know About Your Friends download. There, you'll find the details on how to get this freebie delivered straight to your email inbox. Downloading this freebie, it'll allow you to join my newsletter crew. You will get a weekly newsletter directly to your email inbox with a preview of what will be featured on the podcast that week, plus a peek at this month's blog post, some other resources and tips to help you grow friendships that honor God and draw you closer to Jesus. Just follow the link in the show notes to find my website and get this new resource and join the newsletter crew. Friends, thank you so much for being part of this community. Until next time, it's your sister, Kimberly.